So what we, so this thing right here has to return an observable of u. And all I have is an observable of t and a func from t to u. Okay? There's no way that I can construct one of those things from these two guys directly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a little bit of shorthand here. I'm going to say return new.
So we assume that we are in Java, where we have anonymous inner classes.
And there's a way to like emulate those in C sharp.
Just like the Java compiler just implements them by translating them into normal Java.
There's a design pattern that basically is the human compiler generating this stuff. So we're going to return back a new iObservable of u. Now, iObservable of u has to have one method, which is the attach method, right? And so this thing is iDisposable. Attach, and it would take, well, since this is an iObservable of u, it takes an iObserver of u. We'll call this v for now. Okay, so now we have to implement this guy, and we need a disposable. Well, we can't get a disposable unless we attach this guy. So let's do that. Why not, right? So we could return o dot attach, but now we need an observer of t. So what do we do? Well, we don't have an observer of t, but what we could do is we could do the same trick here. We could create an anonymous one. We could say new iObserver of t. Now this guy has a bunch of methods to implement, but we'll start off with just yield. So for yield, you need to implement yield, and yield returns void yield, and takes a t value. Now I have a t, and I have a func from t to u.
And I needed something of type u, right?
And so what we'll do is we'll say f of value, so now we have something of type u, okay? And now what can we do with that? Well, there is an observer that takes one of those. So we'll say v yield this guy. Right, that's the right type. And this returns void, so that's good. We're done there. And we can do essentially the same
with throw and
break. So we'll skip those for now. And then that closes that one. Done there. Okay. So that is the implementation of select.
Okay. And so, in some sense, we've done here, and this is like one of the mottos of my team, is like, use the materials in the room, right? We've only used the materials in the room by looking at what we have an observable of t, we have a function from t to u. Well, how can we kind of, you know, plump things together such that we can kind of, you know, use that function and then, you know, kind of, you know, get the result in the right place.
So in some sense, it's like constructing a proof.
Yes.
Like if you remember back to geometry days or something, right? These are the givens, and this is what we want, and now how do we get from there here to there,
exactly,
right? We just put things together until we get it.
Yes. And the nice thing is that this implementation now is also an implementation that has kind of, you know, it doesn't do any kind of effects, right? The only effects it does is it allocates some new observables, but it doesn't kind of, you know, it doesn't kind of, for example, when you attach to it, or
now you're given operational interpretation.
Of course,
yes.
Because the thing is, when you do a select on observable, it doesn't kind of, you know, do the side effects here. It just kind of constructs this thing that's waiting for an attachment.
So when you call select, when you're building the query, that's phase one, we said, right?
Yeah.
So when that happens, all it does is return this thing. But notice that none of this other code runs. That's phase
one. It's like this example with the delegate, right? It returns this new observable that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It just waits there until you attach something.
And when you attach, that's then phase two, right? And when you attach, basically all it does is when you attach, you give it an observer, and then it attaches to the observable you gave in the original place, this new observer that's constructed here. But none of this code runs yet.
Okay.
Right? And then it returns back whatever this guy returned back as the disposable thing. Okay? So I notice that there's no global state we're modifying or anything. We're only calling on the functions on the givens.
Okay.
Okay. The next thing is when the environment says yield, which is when this guy calls yield, then what happens is that that's phase three. And so when the environment calls yield, then we yield on the observer that was given to us with the mapping in there, built in. Okay, so now this code all runs. But the disposal hasn't run yet, right? That only runs at some point in the future when someone disposes the attachment, and this guy is phase 4, right? Those are the four phases that we talked about earlier on.
Excellent.
So that's kind of how these combinators look like on the inside. But they're not stateful in the sense that they don't cause things to happen directly as you're building them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, and all the other ones, like, you know, where and so on, are all kind of the same thing. They all follow this kind of pattern, except for select many.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, because for select many, there's kind of, you know, several possibilities. So maybe we should kind of draw one of our kind of, you know, the diagrams,
yeah,
our like marble diagrams, as we call them.
Yeah, so I'm just going to write the type of select many, but we're not going to write the implementation.
Okay.
So we can leave that as an exercise to the reader.
Yes.
Or viewer.
What, the case. Implementation?
The implementation, yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure some Niners would get it.
There's a T-U-V. So, no, we're going to do U. We'll do this one. Select many of T-U. And then this has a iObservable of T and a func. It looks very similar to select so far from T to iObservable of U. Okay?
You want to do this one first with flatten, and then we then do flatten, or shall we do it?
Ooh, that's maybe even better.
Yes.
That's probably easier to explain. Let's do
yes.
that instead.
Let's implement this using flatten and select.
Okay, well, let's write the type of flatten then real quick.
Okay, yes.
So the type of flatten is, so flatten, so for the monad above side here, this is like monadic join, okay? This is like bind. Basically, we're going to take a T and an iObservable of iObservable of T. And we're going to produce an iObservable of T.
So for the as Wes said, for the monad buffs, there's kind of two ways or many ways to formulate what a monad is, right? A monad is a type constructor with, you know, several operators. One way to define a monad is to say it has a bind or select many. Another one is to say there's a flatten operator, and you can kind of express, you know, this one in terms of this one or that one in terms of that one. So it's kind of, you know, usually in like when people define monads, this one is easier to define and it's easier to work with.
Okay.
In category theory, and when you're doing proofs, this one is easier to kind of deal with because, as you see, the signature is much simpler. There's no funk in here.
It's also, this one's actually, I haven't implemented both of these in concurrence world. This one's easier to implement.
But now, in our case, this is kind of unusual because, in our case, this one is easier to implement, and
yes.
Whereas usually the bind is easier to implement. So,
yes.
in that sense, this is like, you know, a slightly kind of, you know, unusual monad where the kind of the flatten is easier to implement than the select many.
Well, let's give them a little intuition about what flatten means.
Yes.
So let's look at another thing. So if you had flatten with an array, let's just look at that just real quick. So suppose we had flatten of T for arrays. And what we'd be saying here is that T array ray becomes a T array, right? So basically what we're saying is that if you have like, so you have this array of arrays, and then these guys we're going to flatten into one big array, where this guy happens maybe first, and then this guy happens maybe second, and so on, right? We're basically just concatenating all of them together.
Okay.
Essentially that's what's going on in the array case. So that's kind of an intuition in one, a more familiar example. With observables, we have a different situation. You want to do your marble diagram?
Sure. So the way we kind of, you know, draw these observables is like, you know, we kind of draw them like what we call marble diagrams. So this is like, if time goes like this, then whenever there's something yielded,
when the environment pushes something to you,
we draw this kind of, you know, little circle. And then, you know, whenever it's kind of, you know, finished, whenever the environment says break, you know, we kind of, you know, do this.
Yes.
And then whenever the environment throws an exception, you know, we draw a little cross or something. So now you can see that the observer has kind of, you know, yield, draw.
Or if you
or it's kind of, you know, it could be yield, break.
Okay.
And then, you know, what you do is you kind of, you know, attach an observer. So that is kind of the not so nice thing about this diagram. Yeah.
So I want to write the type of this line.
Yes, it's I observable. Oh, in the case for flatten, it will be.
Yes, for flatten.
This guy, this is still I. Normally, it's I observe. Let's.
Okay, so in general, it's this.
Yes.
And each of the type of each of these black dots is T.
Okay.
But first, I want to warn that when we draw this like this, this is not really the observable, right? The observable is the thing that allows you to attach an observer to it.
Yes.
But still, the intuition of having this thing as a collection over time is still valid, but you have to be a little bit careful because it's not really these values. This is something that allows you to attach an observer to it such that you can see these things.
Yeah, essentially, when you attach, it creates your own custom line for you.
But if you don't, so even if this guy fires, if there's no observers, then you know, nobody sees these things. So even though we write them here, maybe, you know, the user has typed on the keyboard, but if you don't have an observer, the thing doesn't happen. So it's like, you know, you can sing in the bathroom, but if there's nobody listening, you might as well not have sung.
Or the IP falls in the forest. Does anyone hear it? That's
yes,
the whole thing
exactly.
People say.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. You can think about it.
Yep. So now here's the interesting thing. What Wes said is that now for flatten, this is like an observable of observables, so which means that each of these guys itself is like one of those streams. So let's draw the diagram like this.
So now, the type of the top line is IO of IO of T of T. And this thing right here is now an IO of T.
Right? Because, so this one fires. It fires something of type I observable of T, which then, you know, since we have to flatten, we have to kind of take these values and
these are
kind of,
type,
you know,
T.
Of type T, and we have to kind of, you know, push them, you know, down.
They're like projected onto this bottom line.
Because this is the thing that you kind of attach to. That's the result of that guy.
Yeah, so this guy's type is going to be I observable of T.
Okay, so now we have an I observable of T.
Can you put the black dots right there?
Put the black dots, because we need different colors. Okay? So now, this guy, let me use red now. So that was the first black one. Let's put a huge black dot, because this is like a dot of dots. So now the second guy here is an I observable. Gives me another I observable, say of red things. So now I write it like this. And this guy, and remember, this is like all asynchronous. The environment just pushes these things at me. And so now this guy starts to fire, you know, kind of independently.
There we go.
There we go. And maybe there's one here. So now you see that on the output, even though on the input I got like this thing and then this thing. Now on the output it's like, you know, it all gets merged. Let's do another one, like green. Okay? Which fires. Then it starts a new sequence, which kind of goes. And so here you see how this flatten works. It takes an I observable of I observables, and it returns a new I observable of T. And now this is kind of where we spent a lot of time designing this, because you see here that now, you know, the input stream looks kind of very nice, right? There's first something which has black. Then there's something that's green and red, and then something's green. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at the output, it's all kind of, you know, one mess. All these things are kind of, you know, concurrently merged.
Okay. And now let me ask you a question. As far as because this is reactive, is the program getting this information as it occurs? In other words, or do I wait for you to give me sort of a sequential list of when these things happen?
Yeah, you would get this as they occur.
Great.
Yes. So if you attach something to this, you get this, then this, then this, until you dispose at some point.
Okay, but nothing's to guarantee that. So if the red stuff happened later, red could come in before blacks are done, right?
Yes, exactly. So this is the thing, right? Suppose that Wes implements this flatten thing.
Yes.
So Wes will now kind of, you know, observe this black dot. Mm-hmm. But what you observe is, well, he will have to kind of push these black dots to you.
Understood.
But now Wes, kind of after he has seen this, he gets the red one. Mm-hmm. And then he starts to kind of, you know, notify you of all of them. But they now just kind of get interleaved. And that's the whole point of asynchrony, right? Mm-hmm. It's like now there's concurrency. Something that looked kind of, you know, nicely sequential here suddenly becomes like, you know, after you flatten it,
excellent,
becomes concurrent.
Yes.
And so we spent quite a lot of time kind of, you know, looking at this design.
Sure.
And maybe we should show our failed design first. So one of the things that we said before is like, you know, when this guy here kind of has fired, now we kind of, you know, got a little bit nervous about the fact that, you know, there's like, you know,
the blacks happen after this red dot happened.
Mm-hmm. So what we did is we said, well, you know, as soon as a red thing happens here, we're going to kind of, you know, stop observing that guy. And whenever a green one happens, or when this green one happens, now we stop observing the red stuff. So, you know, that would mean that
it's like it keeps the latest thing active.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that this guy, this black dot wouldn't have been there, this black dot wouldn't have been there, and this red dot wouldn't have been there, neither this black,
yeah,
right?
But let's go back a little bit to composition. If you're composing observers and you have sort of a dependency on the black guy isn't going to do something until the red guy returns something that the black guy is waiting for, I mean, you could get really complex with how you design
these
systems.
Yes.
And so if you're blocking, which essentially is what you're doing, right?
No, yes, we're not blocking.
Oh, so when you say pause, what do you mean?
No, we're not pausing. We're stopping listening. We're stopping listening.
Got it.
We're saying that after this, we just dispose the attachment.
Okay.
But the problem was that we were just a little bit too eager.
But you bring up the valid point, which is that different people might have different ways they actually want to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Sometimes they might want to have all this stuff. And other times, there's reasonable times where the model we just described would make sense.
Sure.
So.
And you guys enable both.
Yes.
That's what we do now. So now what we have is what is called preemption operators. Hmm. So that is something that where, you know, you can, if you want to have this behavior, the blue behavior, so if you want to stop listening here, the way we do that is we give you another combinator that will kind of, you know, listen to this stream and then, you know, have that stream and then we'll do something. So
yes,
you can now program that. So it's like instead of building that behavior in, we're giving you just another combinator that tells you, okay, I can listen to the black stuff until something happens on this stream.
And we'll show you that.
And we'll show you how that works. But that's kind of, you know, one of the things that we kind of, you know, used. And now we give kind of full compositional power to the users.
So I can wipe this?
Yes.
You can wipe this.
It's stored on video.
All right. So now, how do we define select many in terms of flatten and select?
Yes.
So basically, O select many, O select many of F is equal to O dot, let's see, what are we going to do here? Select of F dot flatten.
And again, this thing is all driven by the types. Right, it's like, what can we do? We have a function from T to IO of U. Well, we have something of type IO of T. What can we do? Well, we can, you know, if we use select, we get a function from IO of T to IO of U. That's the kind of thing here. And then we have flatten to kind of, you know, turn that back into a single thing. So again, we're kind of, you know, just using the types to guide us. Instead of, like, you know, looking at the operational interpretation of this.
O of U.
Yeah. And then the flatten.
T U. This has type I O of U. Right.
Okay, so this is the implementation. And the implementation of flatten we won't kind of, you know, discuss. It's kind of subtle because what I showed, you know, when we had all these streams kind of merging,
mm-hmm,
what we didn't talk about a lot is the other things, like what happens if these streams break or throw exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of not only have to kind of merge the kind of, you know, the real values, yeah. you also have to kind of, you know, deal with this. But yeah. in some sense,
but that's important in the if you go back to the image that you drew, because if exceptions happen along the way, you don't want to stop.
Yeah, you have to figure out what you want to do.
That's a very good question. What should we do with an exception? So let's again draw this kind of, you know, marble diagram here. So this is time. So, you know, there's like, you know, the environment yields a value, it yields another value. Now, in a previous design, what we said, well, the environment can throw an exception, and then it was okay to kind of yield another value, maybe another exception, yield another value, and then break. Mm-hmm. So we allowed sequences like this. However, if you look at the enumerable case, when you do for each over an enumerable, when that enumerable throws
on move next,
your for each terminates. It's not that you continue. The other thing is, if you have iterators with yield return, you cannot say yield exception, right?
The yield throw.
Sorry.
You have yield return. You could also have yield throw.
We have yield break. We have yield return, but there's no yield throw. So again, even if you're creating an enumerator, mm-hmm. an exception terminates. So actually, quite recently, we kind of decided that we don't allow this kind of sequence. So it's whenever there's an exception, the kind of, you know, the stream is considered to be terminated.
So it's like mm-hmm. the break, but the failure break.
It's a failure break.
And that's how it should be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an exception.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And the thing is,
it's an exception to the rules.
Exactly.
Right.
And you can always get back this old behavior by treating exceptions as normal values. So kind of, you know, by doing it like this. So now, so you kind of wrap the exception in a normal value, and now you can still get that other behavior. Whereas the other way around, you cannot do it. So this is what you do. You get now an I observable of T or exception, where you treat the exception just as a
plain. So if you're going to do file IO, for example, and you get a, you know, file doesn't exist exception, you can still continue on.
Yes.
Like
yes.
say you're processing a bunch of files, and, you know, for whatever reason, one doesn't exist, they don't stop your whole process.
But you have
to actually build that into your observer ahead of time.
Some cases,
typing it.
It depends on which one you're doing. So one of the things, let me get to that. Let me explain this. So the idea is that if you have, one observable that is like this, a couple of values and a break,
mm-hmm.
and you have another one that is maybe another value, three of them and then break, you can say concat, where you can say take this one and then concat on this one,
mm.
right? This is O1 and O2. So O1 concat O2 would be like this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these things, right? 5, yeah. Now, what this is saying is when a break happens, now attach to this guy and do this thing.
This is very much like a semicolon, mm. right?
Yes.
Statements. This statement has terminated normally, then mm. you continue with the next statement.
That's right. Originally we called it followed by.
Yes.
Right? But it's actually concat, like in the enumerables.
Okay.
Now, in coming back to your question, mm-hmm. so exceptions are like just failures that they're like, well, failure breaks or breaks that are failures. So what you could do is you could have another combinator that basically, like, you know, on air, you know, take the exception,
mm-hmm.
a function from the exception, and then produce some new observable to replace it with.
Okay. It's very much like a catch, right? So
yes.
you kind of, you know, when something goes
wrong,
it's
called catch in our
library. It's called catch now, yes.
Good.
Okay, so in some sense, the things that work normal on statement sequence now kind of also work on these observables. Like, you know, if there's a sequence of things, I can now compose two statements with semicolon, I can compose two statements with concat. If there's something where I do a try-catch, well, I can do the same. I do this try. When this throws, I catch the exception, and then I can create another stream. So the same, again, the same kind of, you know, concepts we kind of, you know, lift to this observable world.
Excellent.
So let's go back to this select many and the example that we had with this.
Before we do that, we should talk really quickly about let, because we're going to need that.
But the let will fall out.
Sounds good.
So let's look at select many, how that behaves. So select many behaves as follows. So there's our timeline. I don't have to write T here. So now this guy is an I observable of T. So this guy fires. then for each time this fires, we're calling this function from t to I observable of u. So that's a function here.
So this line is like the invocation of the function.
And okay. Now, so this is f. Right. So this is select many of f. And now this guy starts to fire events like this. Now I'm using different colors again. Now, since this is an I observable of t, it asynchronously might produce another value. We call f on that. And now this guy continues. And let's do a third one. At some point here. Have a real concurrency here. And then now these guys can happen. And let's do some more reds. And another black. Oh, I said black and I draw green. And now here's our resulting line, which is this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, and then the red ones. Okay, so if I do select many like this, again, on the output stream we get this kind of, you know, mixture of all these colors. Now let's tie this back to the dictionary suggest.
Yeah, let's actually write it up. I can probably erase this now, I think.
You can, yeah. Yes. So let's kind of write the example back again, because and let's write it using select many.
Actually spelled out? Or just?
Yes, we can do that, because it's just like, you know, let's write it using segment.
With the spelled out. Okay, so when you have text box dot text changed.
Select many.
Dot select many.
Of t or x, x arrow.
X arrow, and then this guy now is
x dot.
We got server.
Or server, yes, server.
Dot get suggestions
of x. And let's not do the where. This is just okay, and then.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So this is kind of the previous query that we wrote.
I'm going to write it away while you're talking. You just keep talking.
Yes. Okay. So now here's the problem. Now we're typing something. So suppose we want to kind of look up your name. So we're typing C. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in this case, you know, there's like the dictionary only kind of, you know, returns a single result. Okay.
Yeah.
So now assume that, you know, that the dictionary only returns this result at this point. Okay? So now we type CH here. Let me just use a red here. And now the dictionary is kind of really back quickly, so it kind of returns this result. Okay, and I'm just going to wipe these out, because remember that the suggest is like an asynchronous copy that only returns one result.
Okay.
And now suppose that the green one here is also quick. So that was CHA, and the result of looking that up comes back here. So now what you see, if you now look at the output, it looks like this. So you typed C, that thing went and it was an asynchronous computation. Now I typed CA, and then the result for that came back. So I show that on the output.
Okay.
Then I typed CHA, and the result of that came back here. So now if the output is like, you know,
it looks fine so far.
Looks fine so far. Uh-huh. But now suddenly, the result of typing C
comes back.
Yeah. And now the output gets all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
out
this
of
is
order.
Out of order. And this is exactly a situation for this particular case where we don't want to have this behavior, where we do want to kind of stop listening to that guy as soon as you're typing the next character.
Okay.
Okay, so
so let's do that. So before we hit, this is what it looked like before. Now let's fix the problem. We'll say server that gets the suggestions, but only until textbox.textchange.
So that's kind of what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to get these suggestions, but not until this guy fires. So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to say, whenever something fires here, you don't want to listen to this anymore. Whenever here fires something, you don't want to listen to this anymore. So that's the until. That's what we're trying to do here.
Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
So anyway, there's a number of these things like this, that you can combine these observables in various ways to get the semantics you want for whatever your problem is you're working on. Mm. And the important point is it's very expressive, and it's complete, and it's correct. And you can combine these things together. And so that's actually really helpful when you're dealing with the problems of concurrency and distributed computing that are so difficult.
Sure.
And it's very hard to get rid of deadlocks and race conditions and stuff like that. You can do this by orchestrating the stuff together.
And using a syntax, link, for example.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, link's not the only...
because here we can write it in link or here.
But I mean, and I think that's really interesting.
Yep.
And of course, it's yet another sort of tool in the arsenal toolbox we're creating for parallel computing.
Exactly.
But let's conclude, now that we've done... Oh, you have more?
Oh, we want to kind of one show one more. Before we conclude, we have to talk about the evilness of side effects.
Oh, no.
Because now
I thought we weren't going to go down that rabbit hole.
But here, look at this. Here we see that now there's an expression here that's duplicated.
Ah.
Okay? So now let's look at normal code. Suppose we write normal C# code. So I'm writing code here, and now I write here, console... the right line, and here I write, console dot right line of So now this expression here appears twice, and it has the side effects are done twice. So by kind of putting this until here, we have kind of now brought ourselves into a dangerous situation because we have duplicated this expression, and there might be side effect associated with that expression.
And this problem exists with linked objects.
With lambda expressions, it's the same thing.
If you repeat, and this is even more problematic, suppose this wasn't this, where I know that all it's doing is it's firing over the text changes, and it's not really a side effect by adding, but if this is just Q, and this is Q.
Yes, now I've duplicated this query that might be charge money.
Right.
Or something like that.
So it's going to attach twice to Q, or n times to Q.
Okay.
And that's kind of a problem. So what do you do in normal programming? Well, you say in this case, suppose console.writeline would return something, right? Okay. The way you do it is you say var x equals console.writeline, of and then here you use x, and here you use x. So you kind of, perform the effect, and then... Maybe I should have used read line here.
That's probably better.
And so now you do the effect once, and you kind of use that value twice. Hmm. But now the effect is done once.
And that's totally... Let's actually try that read line real quick.
Yes.
Yeah, let's save the...
Yes.
Read line.
Okay. Yes.
So this is actually, completely semantically different, right? Read two things and maybe print them out versus read one thing and print the same thing out twice.
Multiple times. Sure.
And the same here. We want to have these things to be the same. We don't want the side effects and these things to be happening twice. So that's where...
Well, sometimes you do.
Sometimes you don't, but in this case you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why we need this other combinator, the let. So maybe we should write the final query here.
Maybe you shouldn't have written this. Yes. Get rid of this thing. So var x equals blah, 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 blah. That was the trick you used to get past that.
Yeah.
Right, by storing
by lifting out that side effecting expression into a variable.
Yes.
Okay. So
stateful side effects.
So we have a combinator called let.
X is let.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then you can use f of x is prime here. Or x is prime, just use it here.
Let's do x is prime concat x is prime.
Yes.
Concat it onto itself. But this thing, so normally if I would have written this is contrasted with concat of x's.
Yes.
Right? So this one right here does not equal. Yes.
Okay.
So the reason why is because, so suppose that attaching to x's creates side effects. Okay? Then if I do this, then this will do the side effects when I attach here. It will get all of the x's. Mm-hmm. When that hits the break, it will then attach to this one and do the side effects again.
Okay.
Twice. Now here, what we do is we say x's, we attach to this thing, but we give x's a name, x's prime, such that when we use it again and again, There's still only one attachment for all of them.
Interesting.
That's the difference.
Yes. So we kind of share. This is like sharing that guy. Mm-hmm. Such that when you attach, you only attach once.
Because attach is what actually invokes the
process.
It's
processing. Like move next. Oh, right. Sorry, exactly. Get to enumerator. Sorry, it's like get enumerator. That's where the side effects happen. In some sense, when people do this in Link, they often use to list. Right?
Yes.
You want to kind of, when you have an enumerable, you say to list to force the side effects to happen. But
and store the result.
And store the result. But in some sense, that's very drastic, because now you've kind of, you know...
If
you've
infinite, actually, what if it's infinite?
What is it, infinite? Plus, also, you kind of, you know, now force that thing to happen right there. Whereas this let kind of, you know, allows you to share the thing, but without kind of, you know, eagerly kind of pushing that thing. So it's kind of, you know, we believe that you need something like that for enumerables as well, to in order to be able to duplicate them.
And actually, I remember thinking that when I was writing test cases for linked objects way back in the day.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how that oftentimes when I was writing queries, I would repeat some queue that wasn't enumerable, that was the result of some other query. But every time I repeated it, it would reevaluate the query again. And so not only is it the side effects, but some of those side effects are just performance side effects, right? In the enumerable case, that you cause a thing to do all the query again, and again, and again. But if you were to have some sort of let type of thing, then you could actually share the results across all of the computation.
Yeah. Excellent.
So just to kind of conclude, what we have is we have like, you know, this dual interface that's the kind of mathematical dual of enumerable.
What it is, this something we have, is like the observer pattern.
It's the observer pattern, yes, exactly. In the literature, that's known as the subject observer. But what we have shown is that that's actually the dual of enumerables, which means that we get all the kind of sequence operators on it. Mm-hmm. But then to kind of make this kind of work, we have these kind of things for sharing, like let. And then we have these preemption operators, so where you can kind of, you know, stop listening to a stream based on some condition. And this is not the only one. We have other ones where...
And we have a lot of combinators.
For example, you have two streams, and there's a third stream that then determines, you know, to which stream you kind of listening and so on.
Yeah,
so
zipping.
And so there's a lot of combinators that we have. And we...
Timers.
There's operators when you have a stream and it comes in a certain rate, you want to kind of, you know, maybe kind of spread it out or kind of just drop certain things sampling.
Or convert synchronous functions to asynchronous ones.
Yes.
Nice.
You can go from enumerables to observables, from observables to enumerables. So I think we ended up with something, you know, sometimes I think this is so beautiful and elegant, I can retire. I mean, I can never in my lifetime invent anything this beautiful anymore.